It's time for Mind Your Business on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network to present the weekly business radio show produced by the award-winning marketing firm Bottom Line Marketing Group, BLMG, sharing business and marketing strategies to make you and your business successful. Now, here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis.
Yep, thank you for joining me here on another edition of Mind Your Business, broadcasting at 10 p.m. on Sunday nights in the New York, New Jersey metro area, and of course on the very powerful iHeartRadio network. Of course, in the New York, New Jersey, on 710 WOR. If you weren't on 710 WOR, you wouldn't be hearing us right now, unless you're listening online, of course, at various channels, of course, mybradio.com, mybradio.com. Well, we want to thank you, the great listenership of this show. We are once again in the top 10 in New York AM radio, according to the Nielsen ratings, right? Nielsen is the global measurement and data analytics company. To come in number 3 is a very big deal, and I thank you for trusting us each week, where we have amazing guests. It's radio, so I can't slip yet on the amazing guests. We have someone very, very special. I will even say it's really going to be extremely refreshing, because to us city folk who don't have a clue about how fruits and vegetables just magically wind up on the shelves in your supermarkets, we're going to dig in a little bit, no pun intended there. You know, those that have been listening to the show know we've had great guests. We had Steven Sadoff, the former CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue, Joe Hart, the president and CEO of Dale Carnegie, John Sculley, the former CEO of Apple and Pepsi, and so many other great guests. All past shows are available by going to mybradio.com, mybradio.com, and on our robust YouTube channel. We're at 710 WOR, Mind Your Business. And when you're subscribed, you automatically are notified when a show goes live. Just a couple of thank yous, just to be a mensch here. Special thank you to the great team at BLMG who makes it happen. Sruli, Michal, Betzal, Brocha, Michael, Miriam, and of course Darren and Robert out at 710 WOR. And we're on many channels. Basically, in any form of media that you pick up, you consume, you're on Spotify, you're on iTunes, you're on YouTube, we're on all the channels. Let's get to tonight's incredible guest. First of all, back with me is Dennis Budnick, a buddy, a friend. He's the chief culture officer at Investors Bank, and someone that he introduced me to, Chip Palax, president and founder of America's Grow & Roll. Now, let's just, first of all, about Investors Bank. They're a full-service commercial bank that's been in business for nearly 100 years. They started in 1926, a big centennial anniversary around the corner. They're with over $27 billion in assets and more. They have a network of retail branches, 150 branches in the tri-state area. Investors Bank is also committed to the communities it services through the Investors Foundation. It has contributed over $40 million since it was founded back in 2005. Very, very special. And the reason they do that is because they play a role in impacting the community that it services. And now to the guest that Dennis introduced me to, America's Grow & Roll, and of course led by Chip Palax. America's Grow & Roll is a volunteer effort of planting, picking, rescuing, and delivering free fresh produce to those in need. How special is that? They also educate volunteers about hunger and introduce youth to farming and healthy eating. You couldn't have come on the show soon enough, Chip. Healthy eating, right? What's the number one New Year's resolution, right? We got to lose weight. So this is going to be amazing. I just want to give us also some special thank yous. A lot of people were involved in making the show happen. Deborah Trotter, thank you. Jason Bachrock, Dominica Lennart, Carrie Pensick, Heather Mulvey. Heather Mulvey, thank you so much. Tonight we're going to be talking about a lot of subjects, and I just want to give a very warm welcome. Dennis and Chip, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Thank you. Thank you, Jitkov. Thank you for having us back. I'm really excited to be back, and I can't wait for Chip to tell his story. And I know people are going to be not only emotionally touched by Chip's generosity, but also the impact he's making in our communities. But I just want to share a thought or two about the business exchange.
Yes.
And why we're here and why we're spending the time on the radio. You know, Investis history and its landmark is its commitment to the community, whether it's serving the community with products, whether it's serving it with financial literacy and programs. And our foundation and our generosity through our retail network and business network is to help communities, not just with products, but with help, with resources, whether it's good ideas, exchanging strategies, helping out with finances through our foundation. Our commitment is to help the nonprofit business community and the business community with not only product, but ways for them to enjoy more success or to maintain a success they built. So the Business Exchange really came out of the pandemic, because we normally would do all of this in person. We would have events every year where we would have hundreds of businesses attend, and we would do multiple events through every quarter, just so we could allow businesses to get to meet us and businesses to meet each other. Since the pandemic, well, that shut us down, but it didn't stop us. So we went right to the virtual world, and we said, we're going to still keep our communities connected, have them exchange ideas, exchange information, exchange opportunities. And so we started this Business Exchange virtual community. And it's really designed to allow keynote valuable speakers from around the country to come to our virtual stage and talk to our community, our business communities. So we do that through Zoom events, and now we're doing it through your broadcast, which we're really excited about. But our goal is to continue to offer value and profitable ideas to our business community, because if you're successful, then we're successful. So that's a little bit about the exchange and why we're here today.
Dennis, that's a great intro and a special thank you. This is the second one. First one's already up on YouTube. And now I turn to Chip. Chip, America's grower. You know, what's the backstory? Soon we're going to get to the impact, the tremendous impact. But what was the seed in the ground, if you will? Sorry for the pun. But how did it all start?
Well, first, Chuck, thank you for having me. And and I appreciate your puns. We have a lot of them here on the farm. We're a little bit corny, so to speak.
Oh,
but it's a good lot one, more. Yeah. So the backstory, look, it's pretty simple. You know, I was working for a major corporation, Unilever, consumer product good company, and I was relocated out to this beautiful area out in Hunterdon County, agricultural base. And as soon as I moved out here, immediately I wanted to get involved in ag in some form or fashion. And so basically I went to my neighbor's house and a couple of folks, they had cattle. I said, hey, listen, I'll clean stalls, you know, mend fences, do anything. They didn't want to have anything to do with me, but that's okay. So one day I'm driving home from work, and there's this little farm on the side of the road, and it had a little sign, and it said 30 by 30 foot plots available for rent. So I put the blinker on, jump in the park in the parking lot there, hop out. I start talking to this nice little farmer. And he says, I've got, you know, this plot available for you. It was $330. I had a rent for the season. I was the only guy who took advantage of this. And so long story short, you know, being kind of the overzealous, you know, gardener, I thought, you know what, this would be like a nice project for my daughter and I. If I make this big enough garden and she's involved, she'll want to be able to eat healthy. So my daughter was 4 at the time. So we strolled in there. I created this spreadsheet with colors, links, formulas. You know, if I had 50 tomato plants in there, 50 cucumbers, and on and on. And long story short, I had a ton of extra produce that I didn't know what to do with. And that's when a 3-line article in the paper changed my life altogether. Because it said, if you have extra produce, bring it down to the food pantry and grow a row for the hungry. And so, you know, my daughter and I, we went down to the food pantry and we brought our extra produce that we had. And so I walked in there and I remember, you know, seeing folks lined up within the food pantry, and they're sitting there with chairs to the side of me, and they all had these little cardboard cards, and they were being called up to the front, 25, 26, 27, and up to the front they would go. And all they were being given was box and canned food. And now this goes back 20 years ago. This is back in 2002. And so back then it wasn't as, you know, in to have, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables at hunger relief agencies. So this agency in particular, they didn't even have a cooler. They didn't have a refrigerator. So anyway, we waited our turn. We got up there and they said, well, why don't you just put it over in the corner over there? And so we did. We put it on this rack and I left. And I'm like, you know what? Good deed for the day. Check the box. I'm out of here. But then I remember this woman that came running out after me and her eyes were like wide open and she was panicked. And she said, sir, please promise me you'll come back again. Mm-hmm. For health reasons, I have to eat fresh fruits and vegetables, but I just can't afford them and they don't have them here. Will you please promise me you'll come back again? And I remember thinking, wow, oh my gosh, like, you know, this thing, hunger exists that I didn't even know about. And, you know, as time went on and I was, you know, bringing produce, you know, to the food pantry, I mean, all different folks would come up to me. Some folks would help unload my car and, you know, they just start talking to you and, you know, it's their way of giving back, kind of mm-hmm. helping unload and such. Mm-hmm. And I remember this one gentleman said, you know, I haven't always been this way. You know, I had a job, I was married, I had a home. He goes, but then, you know, I got sick and then I lost my job and, you know, now I don't have a house and, you know, I live in a little efficiency and all I have is like a little hot, you know, a little hot plate to cook meals on. And, you know, I recognize like, wow, you know, that can happen to anybody. Anyone's vulnerable. You get sick and next thing you know, you find yourself in that position. So as time went on, you know, we did a little research and we realized that there's things called, you know, food deserts and that people are food insecure. And that basically meaning that, you know, people don't have access to fresh fruits and vegetables. 1 million people a year going hungry in New Jersey alone. 1 in 5 children going hungry. And then we made our way into these areas, these food deserts, and we set up what we call free farm markets. And that's where we would go in and we distribute food to folks who just don't have access to it and they can't afford it. And there was this one time when we went there where it really hit me in between the eyes that, hey, this isn't just about like a nice thing about giving food, but about giving healthy food. We basically set up these little, you know, pop-up, you know, farm markets. And you wouldn't know the difference with this farm market versus any other, with the exception that there's no cashier at the end. And so, you know, we give folks whatever they want. It's all about dignity. You know, hey, Mrs. Jones, how you doing today? Have you ever tried eggplant? You know, give her a recipe and such. But anyway, there was a line of a couple hundred people, you know, and we're in Jersey City on a basketball court. Mm-hmm. And they're waiting for an hour or two. And this one woman passed out, a senior citizen, while she was waiting. Mm-hmm. It was a hot summer morning. But she didn't pass out because she was hot or tired or anything. She passed out because she had diabetes. So she got the medical attention that, you know, she needed. Her blood sugar was off. She was fine. But what we further learned is, one, she can't afford food. She certainly can't afford fresh fruits and vegetables. And she can't afford the medication for her diabetes. Mm-hmm. But somehow, through our program, she's been able to regulate her blood sugar through the produce that we give her every week. So right then and there, we realized that what we're doing isn't just a nice thing. It's a necessity. Mm. And now we're giving away 2.4 million pounds a year, up from 120 pounds we donated that first year with my my 4-year-old daughter and I. So the program's grown exponentially over the years. We have 9,000 volunteers that have supported us each year, and great folks like Dennis, Investors Bank, and many, many other corporations too.
2.4 million pounds?
That's a pretty big number. It's 9.6 million servings throughout the course of the year. And we just hit our 15 million pound mark since we started the program.
Wow. Wow. You know, it's got to wrap my head around it. That's a big number. That's a lot of people.
It's a big number when if you ever weighed a string bean before.
Wow. You know, I mean, we can go in a lot of different directions here, but let's go back to you and your daughter, 4 years old. That's special. Can you please share what's so, I guess, special and even important if someone's building something to, if possible, build it with family?
Oh, it's so special. I mean, look, at the end of the day, my daughter is so into the program. You know, she's 23 now. She loves it. She's always asking how we're doing. She's involved in the summers. You couldn't ask for a better model. And to have a support system like a daughter and a wife who, you know, holds down the fort when I'm not around, you know. And so that's critical. But, you know, It's family, of course, that helped us get to where we are, that support system. But really, our program's about family. You know, it's our team is a family. The volunteers are family. The community is family. These free farm markets, they're all family. We all work together. We live together. We learn together. And we grow together. And that's really what GrowRow is about. You know, I'll have to say that, yeah, we're proud of the pounds. It's not about the pounds. It's about the people. You know, and oh, by the way, we give away 2.4 million pounds a year. But if we're impacting people, whether it's volunteers or those people that we touch when we're delivering produce into areas that folks who may never see a farm or even be on this side of the state, that's what it's all about.
How how do you choose the neighborhoods that you service? And maybe you could even just give us a general sense of to kind of frame the region that you service.
So right now we're targeting and supporting the Mid-Atlantic region, okay? So that's basically New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Virginia, West Virginia, Maryland, Connecticut. And we've gone as far out as to Kentucky and also Texas. So we support that whole area. But in terms of to answer your question about research, you know, we leverage other nonprofits and the information that they have, their resources. You know, Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, each year they go through and they create a record of, hey, where's their food insecurity? And we dive into those areas. And then when we get into those areas, we look and see who do we have a relationship with? Who can we partner with? Who can we collaborate with? And we vet those individuals and those organizations and we work with them, assuming that they can help execute. But it's all about research, but it's also about networking and also having trust with the people that you work with each and every day.
Now, Chip, before we go to a commercial break, how can people find out more about your wonderful organization?
Well, very simply, it's americasgrowerow.org. You can find us online, and if you're interested in volunteering or supporting us, just click the button and we'll get right back to you.
Tonight's show is the second in the Business Exchange broadcast series presented by Investors Bank. Of course, you can find out more information at investorsbank.com, investorsbank.com. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Hi, honey. I know you said you'll get to it, but the family picture still needs to be hung up on the wall. Maybe you can pick up the tools you need on your way home?
Don't push it off again. Let Mr. Super Handyman handle it. Call 718-218-5555 to let Mr. Super know what you need done. That's 718-218-5555. 718-218-5555. Let Mr. Super do something super for you.
Ever wished as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is, you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com, where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. dalecarnegie.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network. We have two amazing guests tonight. Dennis Budnick, the Chief Culture Officer at Investors Bank, and Chip Palix, President and Founder of America's GrowRow. Tonight's show is presented by Investors Bank, and it's the second in the series of the Business Exchange broadcast. The first one featured Rob Scher of Comfort Cases, and tonight we're speaking with Chip Palix, President and Founder of America's GrowRow. And in case you tuned in late, no worries. By Tuesday morning, the entire show will be up at myibradio.com, and you'll be able to hear the part that you missed. Yes, you missed the opening where Chip is talking about how it all got started. He started off with his four-year-old daughter, and now they're delivering millions of pounds of fresh produce to poor people. It's affecting tens of thousands, many tens of thousands of people. Close to 90,000 people are being touched. How do you wrap your head around that? Chip, thank you again for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
And thank you again for having me.
You know, here's a question about leadership. And in doing our research, we found something that you that's a hallmark of yours that not so many people in leadership connect to, and it's something that's very special. And I understand that you would kind of roll up your sleeves and do whatever is needed to get done. Now, we understand that in order to scale an organization, there has to be delegation. And obviously, otherwise, you're going to do everything yourself. You won't be able to grow. But there's another side of it. You are willing to roll up your sleeves and do anything. Can you talk about that aspect of leadership, true leadership?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, from day one, you're right. You know, if you start an organization, you're going to know all the ins and outs from the bottom up. But there's a point when you really don't have to be involved in all those areas. But I find it critical to have some sort of involvement all along the way. And really, it's all about, look, I would never ask anyone to do anything I would not do or have not done myself. And I think that builds credibility. And so much so that, you know, I still get my boots dirty. It's all about boots on the ground. Hey, we're a team, level playing field. There's no ivory tower here at all. And so, you know, it's very common for me to be out in the field harvesting with our volunteers, you know, our 9,000 plus volunteers a year and working side by side with the farm team, because that's what the program's about. And I kind of, you know, correlate it to being like, if you work in a corporation where, you know, you're there on the floor in the plant, you know, with workers packing boxes or whatever. There's so much value that comes from that because you're more relatable, you know, and you're able to connect with your team at all different levels. And I think that just makes you more impactful as a leader. So it's an element that'll never change, you know, and as long as, you know, I'm here in this position, it's something that's very important to me, near and dear.
I'm now going to turn the floor over to join me here in the questioning, Dennis Budnick. He's the Chief Culture Officer at Investors Bank. Dennis, again, thanks for joining me here on the set, and take it away.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. Thank you. You know, Chip, when I first met you, I met you through your networking effort. You know, I remember Kevin Cummings, the president of Investors Bank at the time, had called me and said, hey, I have this person I want to introduce you to. If you're in the area, stop by. And I came by and we met in the executive boardroom, and you're sitting there and he said, meet Chip. And you started telling us the America's Grower story. And I immediately knew this was a big hit for us because I knew the value it would be for our organization and our people. But you were networking. And I found that very interesting that you made the appointment with the president. You came up, you got his attention, and you eloquently told your story. And so I just want to share, I want you to share a little bit about the importance of not only networking, but knowing how to present your purpose and dream and passion so that people not only understand it, but they could adopt it and wrap themselves around this. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, you know, look, every you know, statistic, every program, that there's a story behind it somehow. And that story can be used to and positioned to not just help further our mission, but also in like investors. When I met with Kevin, I do remember that day, you know, sitting there. And look, at the end of the day, if we're going to present our program to others, it's to make sure that we all win, we collaborate. And that's what networking is about. It's not a one-way street. It's a two-way street. You know, it's got to be balanced. You know, I always consider like equitable collaboration. How can we work together so we both win? And, you know, knowing how engaged investors is in the community, it just seemed like a win-win situation and a slam dunk to have the conversations. And of course, here we are today, just another example of that. So yeah, networking is critical. It's, you got to keep that pipeline filled. It's what's gotten us to where we are today. And really, when you think about how many volunteers we have, 9,000 volunteers a year, that doesn't happen by accident. It happens because we have basically three groups. We've got corporations, we have schools, and we have community groups. And when those volunteers come out from each of those groups, they say, wow, this would be great for the other group. So if I came out from the community, I'm thinking, hey, this would be a great idea. I should bring my company out. Come out from a company. Hey, my kids in Scouts or a faith-based group. That'd be awesome to have them come out. So it kind of works that way. It's kind of viral in nature. But at the end of the day, you know, in a traditional year, we have a waiting list for volunteers because it's become that popular. It's all about networking. Yep.
Well, I know when we would have our events at your farm and we would have 80, 90 employees come out from all different departments, high level, mid-level management, entry level, you would always come out. And you came out with your boots and you told a story. And when people came off the field, you were there greeting them. How'd you do? You look dirty. That's good. Hey, what kind of, did you have fun out there? And you were involved. And I'm very impressed with that. And so what advice, because we have two different audiences here. We have the nonprofit audience and we also have the for-profit audience. So bottom line it, what, tell me one or two things that we want to always think about when we're talking about our business or our organization. Tell me one or two things.
Well, you have to remember, you know, I'd love coming out, but in part because you're going to be there, Dennis. but, you know, we always make a point. I always make a point to thank everybody. And when folks are, you know, having lunch, we walk through, I thank them at everyone's table. There's a reason for that. You know, because they came out and they worked hard for us and we want to thank them. It's something that is kind of missing in this day and age. And I think regardless whether you're in for-profit or not-for-profit, you've got to thank the people you're working with because they're helping you accomplish what you're trying to accomplish. So, you know, it's kind of back to basics, old school, but, you know, there's nothing like, you know, just thanking people and letting them know that you appreciate, you know, what they've done for you. And at the end of the day, hey, how can I help you further your mission? And that's what it's all about. You know, teams walk out of here much stronger than they were before. You know, they were able to volunteer, give back, but then at the same time, you know, they had a team building exercise and they don't even realize it half the time. So, you know, it's all about helping those that help others.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to jump in here with a question, and this is for all the city folk out there. And we touched on this at the beginning of the show. You know, when you see an apple on the shelf, you see an orange, you see a tomato, you see a watermelon, there's a backstory to that. It didn't just magically appear. Someone took a seed, and with the intention, they put it into the ground and the entire process. And with that, I turned to Chip, and I'm like, From your experience in farming and applying that to business or a nonprofit, could you talk about how important it is to like start off with a seed in the ground, a concept, an idea, and be patient and water it and nurture it and see it through to success, but don't expect it to happen overnight?
Oh, absolutely. Look, I have so many people that reach out to me from around the country saying, oh, I'd like to start my own grow a row. I'm like, that's great, you know, but you have to take your time. It's about patience, you know, and you have to build on your successes. You don't want to self-destruct by trying to grow too quickly. You know, our growth has been, you know, extraordinary over the last several years, exponential growth every couple of years, but then we take a pause. And for a year or two, we kind of plateau and we reorganize and figure out, okay, how can we get to the next level? You know, so it's all about pacing yourself, but it's also about trying to get those wins. Success builds success, you know? And so my advice to anyone, if you're starting a business or even if you're, you know, several years into it, you got to pace yourself. You know, 3-5% growth isn't a bad thing, you know, on a couple of years. If you're in the position to skyrocket, great. But you really got to make sure that you've got wins under your belt. It builds credibility for those who invest in your business, whether it's the volunteers, sponsors, or if you're for-profit investors.
Now, Chip, because we have many business owners, entrepreneurs, and the like in the audience of Mind Your Business, here's a key question. There are challenges that happen, especially with planting. If, let's say, God forbid, flooding or a storm or different types of, challenges that come up that no one thought of and no one predicted. What are some of the ideas and strategies that you suggest for people out there on how to navigate a challenge and not lose themselves and throw in the towel?
Well, COVID, the pandemic, is, you know, a perfect example. I mean, we've all been thrown into that, you know, that mess. But, you know, I think the ones that have survived, the organizations that have survived, like Roro, it's just, you know, recognizing, hey, this is what we need to focus on. This is our core. Got to get the volume out. You know, got to get the produce off the field. The peripheral programs, programming programs and such that we have on, you know, those can hold, those can wait. But the core, let's get that done first and make sure that we're doing everything right. We pivoted like crazy coming out of this whole pandemic. But you know what? It's made us more sustainable for the next 20 years. So not getting into too many details what we did specifically, but, you know, we had to turn on a dime like everyone else. But it's, hey, if you've got the right team in place, and it is about having the right team, you know, with the right mindset. Again, just focusing on the end goal. That's what it's all about. So
before we go to a commercial break, yeah, I want to hand it to Dennis. Dennis, I see you have something on your mind. Go for it.
Yeah, you know, just want to ask you one question, Chip. So it's interesting. During the pandemic, did you realize that there were some things that we've been doing that because of the pandemic, we shouldn't have been doing it that way anyway?
Oh, absolutely.
We actually found a more efficient, easier way to execute. And the pandemic forced us to consider that. You could become almost lazy in bad habits or bad rituals, but something like a pandemic actually pauses everything. You have to rethink. And then you rethink and you realize this is actually a better way. So could you share maybe one or two things that you discovered now is a better way, whether it's pandemic or not, this is a better way to do this?
Oh, absolutely. Look, as I mentioned before, we have 9,000 volunteers a year. Last year, we had 1,100 for obvious reasons. But what we learned is that when our volunteers planted, they did a good job, but they never got it done within the certain, you know, the critical time period when it had to get completed. So what we did is we hired some extra farm folks and we mechanized some of the planting. And what that did is that got the crops in within a day and a half in some examples. Look, our total yield was up 27% last year just because we changed planting practices.
Wow.
You know, and so we recognize that there's some areas that, you know, we became complacent. It wasn't like we meant to be, but, you know, but it just happened. So it kind of surfaced some areas where we should change. Well, those areas we're continuing now well into the future and as part of our growth plan. That's why our volume went up from 1.5 million pounds to 2 million pounds last year to 2.4 million pounds this year, just because of some course correcting as a result of the pandemic that forced us to think differently and critically. And in the end, you know, who wins? Those people that we serve.
Yeah.
Dennis,
great. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. And a great question, an important one, because we all pray the pandemic is, you know, finally, you know, passes, but challenges can happen in any type of business, some very serious and some not so serious, but like Chip was pointing out, use the opportunity to course correct, like you said. Tonight's show is actually the second in the series of the Business Exchange broadcast presented by Investors Bank, and Chip, we're speaking with Chip Palix. He's the president and founder of America's Grower-O. Chip, before we go to commercial break, how can people find out more information about your amazing organization?
Very simple. Just jump onto the web, americasgrower-o.org. And there are buttons to volunteer or donate, get involved. You know, click any one of those and we'll get back to you in no time.
Special. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Hi, honey. I know you said you'll get to it, but the family picture still needs to be hung up on the wall. Maybe you can pick up the tools you need on your way home?
Don't push it off again. Let Mr. Super Handyman handle it. Call 718-218-5555 to let Mr. Super know what you need done. That's 718-218-5555. 718-218-5555. Let Mr. Super do something super for you.
If you're installing hardwood or SPC or WPC vinyl flooring, do it with the highest quality products. PC Hardwood Floors, the hardwood flooring leader, has been supplying flooring professionals with the highest quality flooring materials for over 40 years. The knowledgeable team at PC Hardwood Floors will ensure that your materials will arrive at your job site by our own fleet trucks, hassle-free. With 7 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and next-day delivery, PC Hardwood Floors is the tri-state area's preferred full-service hardwood flooring distributor. Call 866-369-3232 to find out how PC Hardwood Floors can help you find the right hardwood products and finishing supplies for all your flooring projects. For a free consultation, call 866-369-3232. That's 866-369-3232. Or visit us at pchardwoodfloors.com. That's pchardwoodfloors.com.
Ever wished as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is, you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com, where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. dalecarnegie.com.
Yep, we're back. Mind Your Business on 710 WOR, and have two amazing guests tonight. Chip Palix, president and founder of America's Grow & Row, and Dennis Budnick, chief culture officer at Investors Bank. In case you're just tuned in, no worries, by Tuesday morning, the entire show will be up at mybradio.com, and that's where you could find all the different platforms that host this program and all the past shows. So if you like consuming your media on Spotify or YouTube or iTunes, etc., it will be up. Chip, you mentioned at the top of the show that you worked at Unilever. So you worked for corporate America, and you're running a major nonprofit, 9,000 volunteers. You're running a massive operation. Perhaps from even from both directions, maybe you could share some lessons that you learned from the corporate world you're applying in the nonprofit world, and maybe some suggestions out there from your nonprofit experience now that companies should be listening to.
Sure. Well, you know, look, I'm very fortunate that I've been able to be on both sides of the business, for and not for profit. Clearly, the for-profit experience set me up to succeed. Because it was all about managing budgets, about managing people. It was about marketing, you know, and having a product and being able to sell it to those folks, who need it. And so, you know, applying the basic business principles out of, you know, working in a consumer product goods company, it's really not that different. You know, what do the people want, right? We solicit the food banks and the food pantries. What do the clients want? What's culturally acceptable? What's hearty? You know, so you kind of go through those same steps. But, you know, someone said to me a long time ago who was in the nonprofit world for some time. And she was like, you know, there's a lot of folks who have great missions, but they don't know how to market or manage it. And that really, it's true. There are a lot of organizations that have great intentions, but you really have to have that business acumen to be able to survive in really a business that's, I would argue, much more difficult and challenging than for-profit. I mean, think about it for a moment. We talk about 2.4 million pounds. Well, that's wonderful. You know, but all those pounds go out the door. You know, there's no revenue attached to that. You know, so it's not like widgets, you know, in the for-profit world that I know I'm going to get some sort of baseline, you know, income or revenue from. And so it's a very, very different model, but some of the principles are very much the same. I would say networking is huge. and thanking, you know, just keeping communication, building up relationships. That's beyond critical. I have what I call a drip campaign. We had drip campaign when I was in the business world. I have a drip campaign here. It's where I constantly reach out to our stakeholders, people who have invested in our business through the donations, just checking in, how you doing? You know, just want to let you know how things are going here. I'm not asking them, I'm not selling them anything. I'm just telling them about the program and how things are going. So again, a lot of the fundamentals in for-profit, you can use in not-for-profit. It's again, Unilever's, one of the things I'm so grateful for, because we wouldn't be here where we are today without that experience.
Amazing. Well, it's always fun to be joined on the set with Dennis Budnick. Dennis, take it away.
So, Chip, yeah, I was thinking as you were just with your previous comment, your answer, I'm thinking, so taking that business savvy, right, you had to go into this with some type of financial strategy. You had to crunch the numbers. You had to crunch this. You had to crunch that. And then you said something very interesting. You said you stay in touch with your stakeholders. So you don't call them donors. You call them stakeholders. So I want you to talk a little bit about that too, because that's very interesting, that whole concept of stakeholder.
Well, it is. And look, you know, they're not just donations. They're people who invest in our business. And more importantly, for those folks that we serve. So they need to know, just like, a stockholder meeting, right? You know, how are things going? At the end of the year, we have a dinner. It's free. And we invite everyone who wants to come, who's invested in the business, so they can hear about the year in review. And then we have a town hall. And it's all about transparency. Because, you know, especially with nonprofits, you know, money goes in and people want to understand how it's being used. Well, that's why we invite, you know, folks who are involved, stakeholders, out to the farm to see it in action, to be involved in the field, you know, and so they can walk away and go, hey, I know where my dollar went. Anyone who invests anything wants to know how their dollars are invested and the impact. So, that's a critical piece.
So you're going out, you're telling your story. And you do it very passionately and very effectively, and you get people not to donate, you get them to invest. And we become partners in feeding our communities. So it's not like I'm giving you money so you can feed the community. No, we're both feeding the community. And I love that concept. Just talk a little bit more about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, you're not giving GrowRo. We're just a vessel. You're giving to the community. So whatever you invest in GrowRo then results in building up a community. It gives them the opportunity to eat healthy. That helps their children when they go to school. You know, that it creates a sense of interest in marketing, where we develop an interest for folks to eat healthy within, you know, these small areas, bodegas and such, where some of the folks that we serve go to these smaller markets, these smaller supermarkets, and say, hey, we want fresh produce now. So we create a market. Everyone wins out of this thing. Right. I wouldn't even go as far as, you know, a lot of people ask, well, you know, do you find yourselves like competing with farmers? No. You know, one of our pillars is the sustainability of agriculture. We create markets. The people who we give produce to, they can't afford it. They're not buying it. But you know what? When they get back on their feet, they will. And who are they going to go to? They're going to go to the local farmer. So we help New Jersey farmers. We help everyone who we touch. So, you know, long-winded answer, but your investment goes far, wide, much greater than the 430 acres that we have it here out in Hunterdon County.
Right. But it doesn't stop at produce. Right. So your contribution to the community is not just about fresh produce. It's about nutrition, education, and teaching the young folks that are growing up inner city or even out in the suburbs about food and cooking and food safety. So share a little bit about that, because I know you built a beautiful building with a beautiful kitchen that teach people how to cook and how to appreciate fresh food.
Absolutely. We have an executive chef on staff and she does an awesome job, not just working with the kids. And imagine you've got these young kids that come out, little tights sometimes, first time they ever picked anything in their lives, first time stepped foot on a farm. And they grab food out of the ground. Well, you know what they do next? They run down into our kitchen. They prepare the meal. And then they bring it home to their families. You're talking like, you know, farm to table if there ever was. But our executive chef, she's not just teaching kids and adults. She's going into the hospitals. She's teaching resident physicians who are now integrating all this education and these learnings when they're teaching their and working with their patients. So it's, yeah, it's, it has a massive ripple effect. And if you don't know what to do with the produce, you're not going to do anything with it. The most important step isn't just giving to them, but explain how to use it and why it's important.
Right. That's great.
And Dennis, I just have to turn to you. Can you, you know, explain why investors chose to get involved and collaborate with America's Grower? I mean, I hear the story now with Chip. I'm not questioning it. I'm just like, you know, like, how did you guys get together and what's the, you know, role that investors is playing here?
Well, you know, it's a good question. And I'm asked that quite a few times. And it's interesting how the universe works. You know, part of my responsibility is to help bring engagement to the front line, to our employees. And so part of that is getting teams to work better together. So I've always considered different creative ways, offsites that we could bring teams together and do team building exercises. And I was actually getting bored with the basic offsite activities. You know, let's rent a hotel and we'll do some creative thing at a table and we'll all work with crepe paper and glue and we'll make something really cool. And I was like, you're killing me. This is boring and it doesn't have an effect. So I was really searching for something that was real, something that was not camouflage. It's everything, every minute of the experience is real. And it was maybe within 15, 20 days of looking, and I've searched for different things, Habitat for Humanity. You know, we looked at all those. Then I got to meet Chip. And I was like, man, what a great way to bring people together is, you know, out in the farm, there's no title. There's only dirty boots, right? Everyone gets their hands dirty. Everyone sweats. Everyone helps each other. See, there's no department out there. And when I realized this is it, this is the activity that will make us different. And it's the activity that lowers the barriers because we're working shoulder to shoulder picking corn. Not only was it the first time I ever picked corn as a person, but I'm doing it with a teammate who, you know, traditionally I don't get to work with. Maybe I don't even get along with. But here in the farm, we're laughing and I'm saying, hey, tell me about your family. I have two kids. Well, I have two kids. And at the same time, we're helping people that need help. It's a perfect formula. And so we tried it. It was way beyond my expectation of feedback I got from the people. You know, we saw people going out into the field, barely talking to each other. And I strategically put people in teams where I knew they didn't like each other. I said, I'm going to put these two together because they don't really get along. They walked out in the field 10 feet apart. They came back with their arms wrapped around each other's shoulders saying, man, this was great. And they were muddy and dirty, but they formed to like each other in 2 hours. Now, where are you going to get that? And I knew that this is true volunteerism. It's not cutting a check. It's really sweating it out together. And when we were told at the end of the day that our group picked 28,000 pounds of food, and we were going to feed 80,000 servings that day, people were blown away. Wow. And it was interesting because the feedback I got 3 months later is those friendships have even grown even deeper. So it started a whole new culture at the bank of friendships. And it was bigger than any initiative at the bank. It was really helping people that we haven't even met, but we know we did something good. So that's why we got involved. Because we knew, and one of the tragedies is the COVID thing, because we were in a rhythm. Our people were looking forward to 2021, getting out in the field, and I was getting phone calls every 2 weeks. What if we wear a mask? What if we wear a helmet? Can we still go out in the field? And I'm like, no, we just don't have the permission. We just can't do it. We got to wait. But people were, it was interesting. The appetite was created. People wanted to feel it again. And so, you know, for the business folks that are listening, you have to investigate this because the energy, the friendships, the encouragement, the spirit, the hope, all of that that's created out in the field comes back to work. It goes back to their homes. They you know, it just affects people's lives in a big way. And I've done a lot of events. This is this is my top event. This is the home run event that I've got the best feedback from leadership. And I got the best feedback from people that participate saying, do this again. We want to do more. So, you know, that's why we continue to support Chip.
So then if this goes right into your mission, I mean, it goes right into Investors Bank's mission and even the Investors Foundation.
Yeah, you know, one of the thoughts that we had, and I'm letting it out of the gate right now. I didn't even talk to Chip about this, but I know he'll like this idea. I want to invite our business community to volunteer and do a business community day out at Grower Row. And we'll feed them some lunch and they go out in the field with some business people they know and let's pick some corn. And so it's just a great experience. It's a great experience. So Chip, now you know, I'll be talking to you about this.
I look forward to it. And you know, your example, your story there, Dennis, I've used it 1,000 times. It's so true. You know, seeing teams, you know, gel in the field, it's again, the program's about people. It's not about the pounds. And so it's awesome to see that. So it's what it's intended for.
Yeah. You know, we just did an event. We did a smaller event because we wanted to test it, make sure everyone was comfortable. So we did a smaller event about a month ago. And we had one employee. She actually was very emotional. She was crying. And I said, oh, what's the matter? Anything happened? She goes, yeah, I was out in the field. And I was like, yeah. She goes, this was really an emotional experience for me. This was very emotional for me because I've never experienced anything like this. And I really felt something special when I was doing this. And I'm so happy that you put this together because I can't wait to tell my children about this. I want to have my children come out and experience the same thing. So it really does impact people on a personal level. And that's what activities, team activities should be. It should affect people personally.
Now, I'm actually going to, as we're approaching the close, I would love to ask a key question of both Dennis and Chip. But before we get to that question, again, Chip, how could people find out more information and to get involved?
AmericasGrowRow.org. Please just go online. There's opportunities to volunteer, donate, get involved. Just click on whatever button and our team will be ready to reach back out to you. And we look forward to seeing you in the fields.
Now, Chip, I know this is like, it's like an unfair question because you could take this in a million different ways, but perhaps could you share one key tip for all the tens of thousands of listeners out there on Mind Your Business, a key takeaway?
You know, there are so many, aren't there? But I'll kind of blend together. I'll say it's about collaboration, but it's also about relationships. And they really are kind of one and the same. You know, we don't work in silos, so to speak. The reality is that we only succeed when we succeed together. And so, if there's a way to partner, you know, we become stronger together. And that's if there's a learning that came out of this, it's work with those folks who can help you further your mission and you can help further theirs. At the end of the day, we're all in this together.
Special. Dennis, I turn to you with the same challenge.
Yeah, you know, the one thing I've learned by working with Grower Row and taking this journey of having our employees experiences like Grower Row and other programs that we use is being willing to take the risk with organizations like this, you know, and just be open-minded. Now, we took risk that we didn't know exactly how it would work, but based on what we knew, we were optimistic and it worked beyond anything that we thought would be possible. And so my takeaway is that to create opportunities for your employees, your leadership team to work towards something bigger than the organization. Have a shared experience that impacts something beyond the organization. And that shared experience creates energy that they can apply to the organization. I'm seeing that firsthand. And so so my advice is just be open-minded, check out Grower Row. I know, Chip, you'd love to have volunteers the next season. And if you're interested in sending a group of people out there just to test it out, you're gonna get your money's worth. That's for sure.
Thanks, Dennis.
What a special show! What a special show! Wow, Dennis Budnick, Chief Culture Officer at Investors Bank, Chip Palix, President and Founder at America's Grower Row. This wraps up an amazing edition, and this was the second in a series of the Business Exchange broadcast series presented by Investors Bank. This wraps up an amazing edition of Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 710 WOR and the iHeart Radio Network. Have a successful week.
710 WOR and the iHeart Radio Network present Mind Your Business, hosted by the president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Founded in 1992, Bottom Line Marketing Group is a strategic, creative, and execution-driven marketing agency, helping businesses by clarifying and promoting their vision, mission, and purpose to support its lead generation and customer retention initiatives to gain market share in their industry. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. for this intriguing radio show as Yitzhak interviews Fortune 500 executives, business leaders, and marketing gurus from a wide variety of business industries. Now, Yitzhak and his guests offer their knowledge and expertise to help you be successful every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings, to finish a project. When do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting SIGN UP to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. These free 1 minute or shorter business class video clips cover building trust, finance, leadership, marketing, branding, goal setting, among many other primary business topics. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting SIGN UP to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Again, text SIGN UP on WhatsApp to 718-594-6519 or follow at Business Class Clips on Instagram to receive your free business class every day from celebrity business leaders. Business Class on Instagram or WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.